The globalists are in a meltdown mode. Is their one world idea imploding?
We need to also factor in not only who's won, which is Trump, but who's lost, which is to say us. And I guess I would throw into that that the epitome of the us who is losing here is Europe. That the European Union and by and large its member states have misread the direction where events were going.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, radio for the remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. In part one of our program, Jan Markell talks to program favorite Michelle Bachmann. A new administration is facing new challenges, and that is an understatement. In part two of today's program, Ken Michael and Josh Schwartz have an insightful conversation with Tom Hughes. Here is today's programming.
This is why we can't bask in the election victory for very long. When we come back to work, we got to come back to work. We all said, oh, well, Donald Trump has it fixed. No. That's great. But we have to be involved in all of this. We can't make the same mistake we made in 2016. Progressives never see themselves as fully losing an election. All they do is just shift into pumping more blood into the heart. Tonight, I'm going to show you their attack plan. It's advancing exactly as expected. I'm going to show you exactly what Trump and his movement have standing in their way. And it's going to come top down, bottom up, inside out. The shadow cabinet that's being formed right now. They kept saying there's no deep state. Now they'll come out and tell you, well, we need to put together, out loud on the floor of the Senate, we need to put together a shadow cabinet. What? The federal judges? The state legislators, the governors, this is already all of it in play to pump blood into the deep state and protect that deep state. They will leverage the federal judges to block everything the administration tries to do or change. The building of coalitions of state legislators and governments to throw up an iron curtain, but it will also come from the bottom up. Now, most people think Antifa or BLM, but later in the show, I'm going to show you what the ACLU did to Trump during his first term, and you can bank on the fact they're planning on doing something just like that right now.
Welcome to the program. Well, lots of changes happening on the home front and the foreign front, too. In America, heads are spinning. Look at some of the things happening. Goodbye, at least temporarily, to central bank digital currency banned by President Donald Trump, America pulling out of the World Health Organization, the World Economic Forum being told off, almost 80,000 missing children found, Los Angeles Democrat bureaucrats being rightfully scolded for the unspeakable suffering that went on in the Los Angeles fires, mass deportations, sadly more calls for further assassination attempts, not surprising. I guess it must be the biblical last days, which I've been saying for a long time now. And in that program tease that opened this hour, you heard representatives at the World Economic Forum say that they are the losers because Donald Trump won the U.S. presidency. Added to that, the deep state is in a flurry and the globalists' heads, as I said, are exploding. That's why I like to have into the studio as often as possible Michelle Bachmann, who serves as the Dean of the Robertson School of Government at Regent University. Michelle, welcome back into the studio.
Thanks so much, Jan. It's always a thrill to be with you.
Your thoughts just a little over 10 days into the new administration. We've pulled out of the Paris Climate Initiative, out of the WHO. Our heads are exploding because everything's happening so fast.
It is, and I think we need to stop and thank God. Because many of your listeners joined us for 40 days of prayer and fasting. This was called Teshuvah. We did this on the biblical calendar, ending on Yom Kippur. Why do we do this? We do this because the Bible calls us to, but also because we saw the time that we were in. And we saw this moment, if Kamala Harris would become president of the United States, what that would mean for us. Because we saw the unparalleled devastation that occurred while Joe Biden was president. So this was clearly a strong compare and contrast in an election. During those 40 days of prayer and fasting, believers gathered and they prayed, they fasted, they cried out to God for the church, for their families, for Israel, but also for the United States election. We all need to praise God. This election was done by the hand of Almighty God. The church woke up. God graciously answered our prayers. He gave us this remarkable reprieve, and we can't take this lightly. Yeah. Now, this time more than any other is when we need to specifically target young people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, there's an avenue open here in America and around the world. We need to focus on sharing the gospel, but at the same time, not giving up on prayer. Because just as Glenn Beck said in the opening, the left isn't giving up.
Absolutely.
They
not.
Are digging their heels in deeper. What we have seen is that we're limited in what we can do. God is unlimited in his miraculous power. So we need to continue to stay tightly focused to praying. Never underestimate the power of prayer every day over President Trump's life, but over this administration and over Israel that's been under unprecedented attack. This truly could be the golden age, as Donald Trump said in his inaugural address. This has the potential of being the golden age for the church. If we'll wake up and take advantage of this historic moment, we do it from our knees, praising God, thanking God, but listing out to him all the things that we need to pray over. And so it wasn't just for one election that God gave us a tremendous reprieve over. It is for today and the future. We've seen the power of God. So let's not doubt, let's trust.
You and I actually did an entire program. This would have been a year and maybe even more than that. On the evil of the World Health Organization.
Can
we
you
just
believe
pulled
it?
Out.
This alone, Jan,
yeah, just a,
shows
that alone.
The miraculous power of prayer. Why was this so important? Because as we said on Jan's show, this was the creation of a perch for global
That's
governance.
Right. That's right.
So just what the Bible predicted, a one world government, it was in black and white in the documentation. Those who want one world government had their moment. It was put into place through Joe Biden. He actually is the one that brought the amendments forward for this to become a reality. So what happened through the power of prayer? God gave it to Donald Trump in one of his very first executive orders. He ordered that the United States will leave the World Health Organization. I haven't heard, but I am sure he's also defunded them so that no American dollars are going to fund their evil plans. He did that in his first term. I would imagine he did it again. But realize what Donald Trump did. He took a stick and knocked down the creation for global government in the world. This alone would have been worth his presidency. And that's only one thing that he's done.
I'm just going to head to Davos. Davos wrapped up here about a week ago. Let me play this little soundbite. You actually apprised me of this. It is absolutely precious. And here, the Europeans, the globalists are saying, hey, we're the losers.
Trump has done something no person in the world has ever done before. A dead man, a dead politician, has risen. Somebody who, a year, if we were 4 years ago at Davos, he's buried, dead politically, known to me. He's now returned. This is the greatest comeback in political history of a politician. And then, therefore, he thinks he can do anything.
We need to also factor in not only who's won, which is Trump, but who's lost, which is to say us. And I guess I would add, throw into that, that the epitome of the us who is losing here is Europe. That the European Union and, by and large, its member states have misread the direction where events were going. The causes that it is interested in, climate, human rights, some others, as well as the methods of diplomacy that it prefers, are simply being gradually marginalized as something new, not necessarily something better, but something new moves into the center.
Michelle, people all over the world are running with their tail between their legs because of Donald Trump.
Yes, that shows us how gargantuan this miracle was that happened in this last election cycle. And the people that you speak to, that you have educated about what the Bible says about this moment in history, got it. They prayed, they cried out to God. These people in this clip just showed us the forces of good and the forces of evil. They just ratted out themselves. They said they don't want national sovereignty. They want global governance.
That's right.
He obviously hasn't heard of Lazarus in the Bible, that there has been a man who was dead, who came back to life. Jesus Christ, who was dead, who came back to life and ascended to sit at the right hand of the Father. So he's talking again politically. They thought they had Donald Trump's number. They thought he was gone for good. Why? Because he was about the nation state. He was about the world building up and to see people's lives lived better. That's not what the World Economic Forum wants. They want to collapse humanity under their control. They want far fewer people. As we know, they state it themselves with 8-9 billion people on the planet. They wanted to see millions and billions of human beings die so that we would get down to about 500 million humans, and then they plan to manage it. That's what these monsters plan. But the people spoke. Donald Trump led. And it's shocking that someone like Donald Trump is leading from a fairly biblical perspective. I'm not saying Donald Trump is Messiah. What I'm saying, he's a man. But it's remarkable that this man is leading from a more biblical perspective for the good of humanity than these monsters who want to see mankind dead. And they squealed on themselves. They told themselves the truth. And Donald Trump spoke to this crowd. When he spoke, it was genius. He spoke to them via Zoom in a huge projection screen, almost like Big Brother. And he called them to task. In fact, he called the Bank of America chairman to task and said, "You need to stop debanking conservatives. It's morally wrong." He spoke to them and told them they needed to cut out this evil that they're putting into place. And like you said, Jan, so well, they had their tails between their legs. They knew. You could hear them going, yip, 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 out the door. Yeah. They had nowhere to go. They put years of their lives, billions of dollars, into taking over the world. Are they going to give up and go home? No. But this is the biggest defeat that they thought they would never see. And I attribute this to the power of prayer and fasting. And God has given us this opportunity.
Some of the things that are prophesied for the end of days, including that biblical tribulation, perhaps that great reset, and I've talked about that on this program so many times, perhaps that reset is actually contained in the biblical tribulation. But some of these things, Michelle, they're only on hold. They're going to happen.
Yeah, there's no question it'll happen.
And
yes.
We may have a reprieve of some years here, but that doesn't mean that evil is going to stop trying to be evil. We know that they never go away. They never give up.
But again, the biblical story is that Satan was present in the Garden of Eden, and his goal was to kill and steal and destroy mankind. At the moment of creation, Satan put down his marker, which was pride, saying, did God really say? He questioned who God was. Mm-hmm. That has never deviated throughout the Bible. So Satan is just as much at work, and he has been given provision, as the book of Job teaches us, to prowl around the earth until Jesus returns. And that's why we as believers have to pray, fast, cry out to God. But also, as Jesus said, he calls us to obey him. When Solomon gave his great prayer when he dedicated the temple, it was all about obeying God. That's what God called the children of Israel to do. That's what he calls each one of us to do. Obey me. Obey my word. That's why we need pastors who preach the word so that we know how to obey the word. As we're staying in his word, praying and fasting, that's the best safety net for our nation, being obedient, crying out to God. Just because we're living happier days, we're laughing again, comedians can tell jokes again, it's like we got our life back. But we need to realize what the cost is, and this may only be for a little while. Just like Israel, Israel had highs and they had lows. It was based on one thing, Jan, obedience to the word of God. We are no different. God is no respecter of persons. So let's use the freedom that God has given for good, to preach the gospel, to live according to his word, and then to leave a legacy for these next generations that are coming up. They're what's important right now, and they've got to get the gospel.
If you just join me, you are listening to Understanding the Times Radio. Jan Markell in studio. Michelle Bachman, you've heard her on my programming many times. She's dean of the Robertson School of Government at Regent University. She ran for president of the United States in 2012, and she served Minnesota's 6th District from 2007 through 2014. Michelle, I'm transitioning here just a little bit. You and I have both watched with deep interest and concern, quite frankly, since October of 2023, terrible invasion by Hamas into the kibbutzim in southern Israel, which set the stage for the last year and a half of complete turmoil, not just in Israel, but other places as well. As we speak, there's been a hostage deal. You and I aren't real impressed with it, no. Including with this Mr. Steve Witkoff. Part of that is based on Joel 3:2. I'm going to read that. Joel 3:2 says, I will gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. There I will put them on trial for what they did to my inheritance, my people Israel, because they scattered my people among the nations and they divided up my land. And some translations say they parted my land. So why don't you speak into this based on particularly this Bible verse?
This is profoundly important. There is only one criterion upon which nations will be judged. That's on how nations treat Israel. Did they divide the land of Israel or seek to divide it? Or did they seek to scatter the people? This is crucial. Every Christian needs to understand this. Every pastor needs to understand this, because any world leader can't be successful if they don't understand Joel 3, verse 2, which instructs that nation, you will be judged on how you treated Zion. We know from Genesis 12:3, we as individuals will be blessed if we bless Israel, yes. We'll be cursed if we curse Israel. That's true for nations as well, but this is even more specific, that the nations will be brought to the Valley of Jehoshaphat. Jesus repeats what Joel said in Matthew. He says the least of these, meaning Israel was the least among the nations. So Israel is republished by the mouth of Jesus that there will be a judgment that comes in the last days. So we need to be very sober when we look at this. We need to go back to President Trump's first term. No president had ever been more successful in his term than Donald Trump. By every possible measure, Donald Trump's presidency was a soaring success. He was well on his way to re-election. Prime Minister Netanyahu, the head of Israel, he was soaring in his success for Israel. That was January 27, 2020. And that's when the peace plan was introduced that Prime Minister Netanyahu accepted. President Trump introduced it. I was there in the East Room at the White House. It anticipated, if everything went perfect, that land of Israel would be divided. Jerusalem would be divided. And the people would be scattered. Within 24 hours, the coronavirus task force was announced in America. We saw the hand of the Lord lift off of the blessing of America, and we saw oppression come. We were all told we had to stay inside for 15 days, and this audience knows the devastation that happened. President Trump went on to lose his reelection. What about Prime Minister Netanyahu? Within about 24 hours, the police, which would be the FBI equivalent in Israel, brought charges against Netanyahu. He ultimately lost his prime ministership. For the first time in Israel's history, they couldn't form a government. It took 5 elections in Israel until they had a coalition government. Finally, Prime Minister Netanyahu was able to form that government after years of no government, just an acting government in Israel. Think of how bizarre this is in world history. We had these two leaders who were leading their respective nations with unparalleled success. They sought to violate Joel 3:2, and within 24 hours saw devastating failure. And then now, again, in the fullness of time, God has miraculously allowed simultaneously the same two leaders of Israel and America to be re-elected and in positions of power again. And that's why we're preaching this today, the power of Joel 3:2. We don't want to see President Trump do anything that would pressure Israel with either division of the land or scattering of the people, because God is no respecter of persons. Even though this is the most pro-Israel president America's ever had, We could see his presidency nipped in the bud because of what he does to Israel that would be against Joel 3, verse 2. And the same for Prime Minister Netanyahu. We have a small window of opportunity when we can see advances. Again, what have we seen in a year and a half with Israel? We've seen seven nations attack her. Israel's never had this level of attack. And yet, God has moved around the pieces on the chessboard so that we may see the most miraculous victory ever in the next few months in our lifetime if Israel takes this opportunity to remove the nuclear threat from Iran, to remove the economic wherewithal of Iran. And then President Trump most recently talked about not dividing Israel, but instead removing off of that land the 1.5 to 2 million people in Gaza, because he said all they've done is trying to commit genocide against the Jews. The Jews have never tried to commit genocide against the Gazans. It's only been one way. And so he suggested that Jordan, which has the Arabs from the Gaza region, perhaps they should go to Jordan. Perhaps they should have a life and go to Egypt, because there is no future for them in Gaza. They have stated among themselves, the Hamas leadership, all they want is to kill every Jew. That's their game plan. They don't even really care about the land. It's the Jews they want dead. And so you need to remove that mindset. And the only possible chance they may have to get deprogrammed from this hatred is be moved to a different country.
I think, Michelle, the concern you and I have is that President Trump sees that the Steve Witkoff was some kind of a genius negotiator. We are concerned that there's some blindness going on there. And we're being kind here to say that, limited to that.
Well, it was a terrible deal. And the other concerning factor here is that Steve Witkoff himself was compromised because he had done prior the business Qataris, deals with the Qataris. The Qataris were the ones who came up with this terrible plan regarding the hostages. Now, the obvious that we all agree with is the release of these hostages. That's a blessing. And so now we're finding out that many of these hostages, unfortunately, are already dead. So I want to call on this listenership to pray Romans 8:28 over the hostage deal. Pray that God would take what really is a very bad plan and use it for good. Again, this may be a genius if we can get every living hostage out of this region and then remove the Gazans from the land to give them a better life somewhere else, and then have that buffer next to Israel. We could have a tremendous change here, but the deal was bad. It's thousands of murderers and rapists who were released. So it wasn't one murderer for the sake of one innocent hostage. This happened before. The fellow Sinwar, who planned October 7th, he was released in one of these hostage releases.
Right.
And all this does is inspire more terrorists to steal and kidnap more innocent Jews. The only thing that will stop this process is if the Gazans are removed from their own land. They need to lose their land, and they should. Yeah.
So, Michelle, about a week ago, President Trump came out rather proudly introducing the Stargate with Sam Altman, Larry Ellison, and others, and they're introducing something in the world of artificial intelligence that is Antichrist-esque, not saying anybody's the Antichrist, but it's got shades of tribulation activity. But give me your thoughts on some of this.
What we're looking at is the beast system that the Bible predicts, and that envisions global surveillance of every human being alive on earth. How could this be done? No one could have ever imagined. Just until the last decade or so, this whole area of artificial intelligence where machines are making decisions. And the question is, who's going to control the machines?
Mm-hmm.
So on one hand, is this a good thing that President Trump is allowing all of this investment in the United States? Well, we have to realize at the same time, Communist China has a huge investment in artificial intelligence. We know that Communist China wants to conquer the world. We know the Islamic world intends to conquer the world. But one thing that contains all of this is a moral framework. That's the Bible. So we need to pray according to the moral framework of the Bible that God would give wisdom and bring people specifically in our government, in these technology companies, that God would divinely appoint his people in this system, because the machines may go beyond mankind. That's where it's frightening. So that's we don't have to fear. We can cry out and ask God for wisdom. God's wisdom is far superior to artificial intelligence, but we need to understand and be aware that there's a potential for great harm here for the world and setting up the Antichrist. And again, speaking to all of us, Jan, that the rapture may be around the corner. Once this surveillance system comes into place, we know that that's the tribulation. For believers, we need to be on our ready, and we recognize that these days are at hand. So just because Donald Trump won the presidency doesn't mean that that stops the tribulation. Yeah. The fact that artificial intelligence is going to go gangbusters, that may be even more of a marker. So we're just trying to understand the times. But again, recognize the power of prayer, the power of fasting, the power of obedience to the word of God, and then asking that God would appoint his watchman on the wall, even in our government, even in technology, that godly people would be there to weigh in.
Michelle Bachman, thank you so much for coming by the studio today.
Thank you, Jan.
Coming up in part two of my programming, Ken Michael, Josh Schwartz, and Tom Hughes are going to continue in this line of discussion. I do hope you'll stick around.
We hope you'll stay in touch with us online through olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Write us through the mail at Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. In this age of fake news and false teaching, thank you for trusting Understanding the Times Radio and Olive Tree Ministries. We invite you to visit our active ministry website. There you will find the current and past radio programs, daily headlines, our online store, our print and electronic newsletter, and all upcoming events. You will also find our prayer wall. Here you can post prayer needs and also answers to prayer. You can also find videos of all past events, such as our Understanding the Times activities. Find all of these and more at olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Have you thought about inviting one of our reps to your church or conference? Find all contact information for Pastor Josh Schwartz and Ken Michael at olivetreeviews.org as well. And pastors, find information on our May Pastors Huddle at the link as well. This ministry will continue to help you understand the times and contend for the faith in 2025. We want all to become watchmen on the wall as we cast the nets upon the waters and await his return. So check out all of these options at olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org.
We got to remember that with technology, these miraculous things that are going to happen are going to be, as the Bible even describes them, lying signs and wonders. Jesus did real signs and wonders. These are going to be lying. Satan can only mimic what God does. Satan's not a creator.
We know you can't always be by a radio. So if you miss a program, visit our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. And then go to radio, where we feature both the audio and video version of our program. You can also catch the program at oneplace.com, on our Rumble or YouTube channel, on all of our social media, and on his channel, Christian TV. In our closing segment, Ken Michael and Josh Schwartz wrap up today's discussion with Tom Hughes. Here is the balance of our program.
January 21st, 2025, President Trump held a press briefing at the White House, joined by Sun, Ellison, and Altman, to announce a massive private sector investment aimed at building the largest AI infrastructure project in history by far, called Stargate.
Together, these world-leading technology giants are announcing the formation of Stargate. So put that name down in your books, because I think you're going to hear a lot about it in the future. A new American company that will invest $500 billion at least in AI infrastructure in the United States, and very quickly, moving very rapidly.
America is doubling down on AI to stay ahead in the global race. Now, why do we need so much infrastructure for AI? Well, these advanced models like ChatGPT or any giant language model require insane amounts of computing power. That means data centers.
The data centers are actually under construction. The first of them are under construction in Texas.
The administration wants to ensure America doesn't fall behind in crucial AI tech, which influences everything from healthcare and finance to military capabilities. There's also been buzz in tech circles about a story from just a few days ago regarding H-1B visa policy changes, which could be another piece of the puzzle. While details are still emerging, sources suggest the administration may be looking to streamline H-1B approvals, especially for specialized AI and data center roles. To beat China, we need to move fast, then figure out regulation afterward. Larry Ellison made a statement during the press briefing that AI holds incredible promise for all of us. Sam Altman called this the most important project of this era. They both emphasized national security as well as technological leadership.
Because this is the, as you said yesterday, this is the beginning of golden age of America. This is one great example.
Welcome to Understanding Our Times. I'm Ken Michael, along with my co-host, Pastor Josh Schwartz. So the global race is on to see which country can develop the best, fastest, and most powerful AI on the planet. And Stargate, which was announced by President Trump this week, is the latest in the AI massive infrastructure that's being developed. What does this mean for America? And more importantly, how will this technology affect our daily lives? We're going to explain this and the America First policy with our guest today, author and host of his podcast, Today in Prophecy, and founder of Hope for Our Times Ministry. I'd like to welcome Pastor Tom Hughes. Tom, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, guys, for having me on. Man, we live in exciting times, I'll tell you that much.
We sure do, and I can't wait to dive into this. Tom, in your recent book, Marking the Masses, I've heard you talk about this in conferences. You tell a fascinating story about what happened in 1961 when your father was at a party with an elite group of tech giants in Hollywood. Just briefly tell our audience what this conversation was all about and what happened that evening.
My dad was at the foundation of what would later become Silicon Valley, and this was in Los Angeles. I was only a couple of years old at the time. So I actually have heard my dad tell the story repeatedly. I recorded him a few years back because it was so fascinating. So he's in this company, Teledyne. He's at the ground level of it, and there were some very well-known people. And my dad was invited to a party with these different tech companies in the Bel Air area of Los Angeles. And they're looking out over the Los Angeles basin. One of the gentlemen leaned over to my dad and he said, "Hey, Jim, you see all those people out there?" He goes, "One day we are going to control every single one of them." And my dad told me, he said, "I had a very uneasy feeling about the way that was said." And it was somebody that he had trusted at that time who told him that. But he said he felt that some of them in the tech industry where they were gearing up towards wasn't the control of Los Angeles. It was control of the entire globe. So this is over 60 years ago. Then my dad was offered an opportunity to go up to San Jose, which would become the Silicon Valley. But you look at this and you realize, okay, that was way back then. Where are we now? Remarkable. My dad didn't take the offer. My life would have been completely different from what it is right now if my dad had taken that offer.
Yeah, it would be totally different. Tom, that's fascinating to even get a glimpse into that. Let's fast forward to what's going on with this new rollout of the Stargate plan. How is this going to be implemented and how is this going to affect the world?
It's really something. It just takes everything to another level. There's a great article that Patrick Woods put out there titled The Stargate is Open, Enter the Sand Gods. So when you look at it, it's going to sound very favorable, just like the clip that we watched. Listen, AI is already affecting everybody. I don't care what anybody says. If you live in the Western world, you live in China, you can live in Russia, pretty much I don't care where you live. You are being affected by AI. It's in things that you use every day. It's in your phone. It's on your laptops. It's part of everything that you do, things you watch and so forth. So it's already in every aspect of life. But you have Larry Ellison on there, Sam Altman. Others are saying what a great boon this is going to be. It's something that's really needed. Don't forget, if you go back a year or so, it was Sam Altman who was having issues over the regulation of these kind of things. Elon Musk had warned about regulating them, but most of us said, hey, that's not going to happen. It's just words right now. They know it's not going to happen. It's already gotten, it's like the snake has already gotten out of its den. You know, it's already out there running around. And here's where a real dynamic is. Trump knows what every world leader knows and what other people know too. It doesn't take a genius to figure it out. Whoever gets control of this at the top of the world can literally take control of the world. Putin recognized this several years ago, that somebody's going to control this, and whoever does is going to be the winner. So Trump recognizes that if it's not the United States, well, then it's going to be China. This is a race that is not going to stop. It's a race to the top. Who's going to end up there? Eventually, it's going to be this 10-beast system, which I think we are witnessing the birth of right now. And then eventually after that, it's going to be Antichrist that's going to be installed in that position, known as the beast in the Bible. But when you look at it, it's going to be sold as very favorable. And some of the things, like Elon Musk with Neuralink, where it's said with Neuralink, the lame will walk, the deaf will hear, the blind will see, words right from the life of Jesus. We got to remember that with technology, these miraculous things that are going to happen are going to be, as the Bible even describes them, lying signs and wonders. Jesus did real signs and wonders. These are going to be lying. Satan can only mimic what God does. Satan's not a creator. So you enter in this whole issue with Stargate. What do you have? You have, for just one example, someone has cancer. They go to the doctor, or they don't even know they have cancer. AI will be able to detect that this person has cancer. It'll be able to detect what kind of cancer they have. And then based on the person's DNA, it'll form the treatment that is specific to that individual. Because if you sit down, for example, and you're watching a program and all of a sudden a commercial comes on from a pharmaceutical company, hey, if you take this drug, just give you one example, a drug for depression. You take this drug for depression and you sit through the rest of the commercial in super fast language and really tiny print. It comes up with all of the side effects and you start hearing some of the side effects. One of them with an antidepressant is that you'll become so depressed, you'll kill yourself. You're thinking it's just crazy. Well, why is it? Because right now, drugs, chemotherapy, everything is blanketed towards the human body, but everybody is different. So AI with Stargate is going to be able to determine you have cancer before anybody knows you got it, what kind of cancer it is, and then figure out your DNA, being able to do it in less than a second, and be able to form a medical treatment that's specific for you. What's that do? It basically says you'll be able to live for a really, really long time. And then we go back to the words of Yuval Noah Harari. You'll be able to live forever. You won't die and you'll be like gods. I mean, it's remarkable. And this will be sold to the people. And if you start to think about who isn't going to want something like that, they're going to think, wow, I'm going to be treated for cancer. It'll be so appealing and so deceptive. It is going to send this entire world to the place of recognizing or thinking, this Jesus Messiah? No, no, no. We have technology that is far superior to what Jesus was able to do. Jesus was localized to the area where he was. We've got this technology that can reach to the entire globe. And the lame will walk, the deaf will hear, the blind will see, the cancer person will be treated, and all will be absolutely wonderful. So this is coming like a freight train, extremely deceptive, and ultimately, it's a spiritual deception.
Tom, you're absolutely right. In fact, they're talking about customizing a vaccine specifically for those to treat them, and it's an mRNA vaccine. And we know with these vaccines, it actually changes your DNA permanently. Yeah. And that's what the frightening part of this, I think, is. As we look at Stargate, we're going to build these huge multi-million square foot data centers that will house and supply all the energy and power that's needed for this technology. However, we're all hearing, and it's my understanding, that these are also going to be set up as data collection facilities Like you said, we're hearing that America has no choice. They have to move quickly with this technology or they're going to fall behind China and all these other countries. Are we unwittingly participants in this? Or like you said, does everyone know where this is going to lead? And is it going to lead to our demise?
There's a lot in there, Ken, with what you said. So listen, here's a simple fact. Whoever comes out on top of this is going to be on top. So ultimately, it's going to lead to everybody's demise, whether you're the country has it or doesn't. China will obtain it first if Trump doesn't move forward, or some other country is going to. Pretty much all of these world leaders are megalomaniacs. A lot of them have very nefarious intentions. I don't know what Trump's intentions are. I'm not going to speak to that right now, but what I am going to speak to is it will lead to the demise. And you mentioned the databases, the demise of everyone, the success of it, or whether a country has it or doesn't have it. Either way, it's going one direction. But with that, when you think of databases, there's already enough databases to store all of the information from all of the books that have ever been written since the beginning of books, and a whole lot more already with the databases. So what are the databases now going to include? They're going to include everything else that continues to be created. Not only is it databases that are needed because of AI, and then you have quantum computing, we have the Willow Project, we have all of these different things, and then you throw in there the electricity that's needed for these, I'll call them dark centers. You know, you can call them data centers. I'll call them dark centers. I think it was Gus Hunt was the director of CIA many, many years ago. And he was asked back then with the data centers, the Utah data center, I think there's one down in Texas and various ones that have been there for a long time. What do you intend to do with all of the information that's collected in these data centers? We tend to hold on to it forever and we will use it against everybody. So when you see this happening, and then you throw in AI and quantum computing, where are you going to end up? You're going to end up with a beast system that will enable Antichrist to appear to be omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, and also omnipresent, appear to be everywhere. And the deception, again, is going to be great. Imagine you can be healed of just about everything. You might even be able to live forever, and you don't need the Messiah of that book that we read, the Bible. We've got it all figured out. It'll be sold that Jesus was a fake Messiah. The book is no good. Yuval Noah Harari also said we need an AI Bible, if you remember that.
Yes.
So if we go back, Ken and Josh, to the time of the Garden of Eden, what did the serpent say to Eve? Did God really say that? In other words, you look at the Bible, did God really say that? No. And what the serpent then says is interesting. He says, God knows that in the moment you eat of this fruit that's of the tree in the midst of the garden, you will not surely die. In fact, you will be like gods. Very interesting, because this is the same promise that we are starting to hear. We've been hearing about it for a while, but now they're about ready to achieve it. You're going to live forever. You won't surely die. You will be like God. So you can't make this up. What happens in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2? Antichrist sits in the temple, demands to be worshipped as God. And then God says, I will send strong delusion upon the people so that they will believe the lie. What is the lie? Antichrist is the Messiah. What is the lie? Does it go all the way back to the Garden of Eden? You will be like gods. You will live forever. This is coming like a freight train. It won't be stopped. To answer your other question, Ken, is Trump just going along with this? Does he know what he's doing? I don't think he's thought through it anything like we have, especially us who are in the Bible prophecy world. We understand the biblical implications. I think Trump is a huge player that is on the scene right now. And we got to remember, God is the one who is sovereign. So this is happening. If we go back to Trump's first administration, what do we hear about? Remember Operation Warp Speed?
Yes.
Trump, I think he was deceived by certain people at that time. So that jumped everything into Operation Warp Speed. And then we went on from there to just insane things with lockdowns and everything else. So is that happening again? Is it like round two of Trump looking at this? And I would agree, he's right. China's going to get it if we don't. This is going that way. If we know who some of these tech giants are, they were already working with China. You look at Bill Gates, you look at Sam Altman, you look at Larry Ellison, you start looking at them. Wait a minute, weren't they already talking with China? So what Trump has done is he's brought them into his inner circle, but it is coming. And now with this technology, it has the power and the force of the United States government behind it. But I'm telling you this, we are going into a counterfeit revival is where we are heading. And we are heading there rapidly because suddenly it's going to be political. It's going to be medical. It's going to be everything but genuine spiritual revival. I mean, there could be a spiritual revival coming. Don't get me wrong. People may wake up to this and realize they need Jesus as Messiah. But we are rapidly heading to a place of great deception, such as the Bible, Jesus himself said, where if possible, even the elect will be deceived. That's where this is going. I think Trump is a businessman who's going along with it. I don't think he understands anywhere near the implications that we do.
Couldn't agree more, Tom. And you're right. This is being set up. And even the developers warn us for godlike intelligence. And we are racing towards that. Let's switch gears here a little bit. We've also talked for some time about how central bank digital currency will change how we buy and sell. President Trump last week just signed an executive order that is going to have a huge impact on our currency. I want to play a short clip and then get your reaction here.
This afternoon, I'm laying out my plan to ensure that the United States will be the crypto capital of the planet and the Bitcoin superpower of the world, and we'll get it done.
Yeah, this is the crypto EO. We're going to be forming an internal working group to make crypto, to make America the world capital in crypto under your leadership.
Which is really going up, right?
Absolutely.
The order ensures banking services for crypto companies are protected. It also bans the creation of a central bank digital currency, CBDC, in the U.S., arguing it could compete with existing cryptocurrencies. If fully implemented, the order could bring cryptocurrencies into the financial mainstream. The new task force will include the Treasury Secretary, SEC Chair, and other key officials. They will create a framework for regulating digital assets, including stablecoins, which are cryptocurrencies tied to the U.S. dollar. The group will also study the idea of a national cryptocurrency stockpile. This could be built from crypto seized by the government in law enforcement actions.
You're listening to Understanding Our Times. Our guest today is Pastor Tom Hughes, Hope for Our Times Ministry. Tom, we've been warning our audiences about central bank digital currency now for the last few years. Does eliminating CBDC and using cryptocurrency change things and how we operate?
Yes and no. So it is a big deal. I believe that, and I think most people who follow these things would agree that cryptocurrency is going to be mainstream. It's not going away. Trump says we're going to eliminate central bank digital currency. Listen, if America is this leader in the crypto dollar, it'll be huge. When you look at the United States economy, if you're anywhere in the world and you're a rich businessman, where are you going to want to invest your money right now with Trump being president? You're going to want to invest it in the United States. I guarantee you money is going to be pouring into the United States at a rate that this world has never seen before. There's going to be great prosperity. And it's likely, as we look at cryptocurrency, I'm thinking the Amero dollar or whatever Trump administration will call it is going to come about. However, he says there's not going to be a central bank digital currency. Eliminating that right now, I believe something's going to happen that eventually is going to turn it into a central bank digital currency. And the reason why is because a central bank digital currency will do something that Trump's idea currently, from what I understand, won't work. So Trump's is decentralized. It means that the government doesn't have complete control on all of the necessary tracking with decentralized digital currency. Of course, I don't understand all the dynamics of it. Something like Brit Gillette might have a better handle on that. But centralized digital currency is can be centralized with one person in power. So when we go forward, you have a beast system, and then you come to Revelation chapter 13, where no one can buy or sell unless they have the mark of the beast. And the only way to really control that, from everything I look at, is through a centralized digital currency to be able to make that work. So it may be going this way for now, and it's going to go this way. Digital currencies are already out there all over the world. People are using digital currencies. Some people are getting rich from them. Some people are not. And it's the reality of where things are going. But if we think, in my mind, how will we get to a centralized digital currency? After the rapture of the church, I'm thinking it could be real easy to get there when suddenly everything changes in an instant. So as we look at things going forward, what this is now is another stepping stone towards the beast system.
Absolutely. President Trump just defunded the World Health Organization. And we know that the United States and other countries were willing to allow the WHO to initiate health emergencies and override these sovereign nations and their laws, including the U.S., will these huge data collection centers not only lead to digital health passports, but also the collection of all of our personal information, financial, health, and anything else that they want to collect?
Absolutely. I've said this many times before. You know, people are trying to have their information not being tracked, not being stored or anything. Listen, everything about us is being collected. You know, we were sitting here doing podcasts. I saw a YouTube a while back. It was a few years ago. It was these preppers, right? And they were prepping and they're telling where they're located and they're saying we aren't going to be tracked. You're telling where you're located and you can't get on there and do these things. The moment I was born, they put my information into a book and I was issued a birth certificate. So information has been tracked on every single one of us since the moment we were born. So yeah, the data is all being collected. Okay, when you look at the World Health Organization and you look at Stargate, Stargate takes this to another level. The World Health Organization is an evil empire. In fact, the leader is Tedros. That guy's a wicked person.
Yes.
That leads the World Health Organization. And much of the world, including Biden, was in favor of letting him have complete control, sovereignty over this. In fact, there were some people that were even saying Tedros was Antichrist, which is absurd in my mind. But we can start to see as things are developing more and more, listen, this Stargate, in a sense, some articles I've read have said it makes the World Health Organization, it's going to become obsolete. But whatever it is, could it be the World Health Organization on steroids? Quite possibly when we start looking at it. But the World Health Organization, the UN, the WEF, we're starting to watch these global institutions that have had their 10 minutes of fame over the last several years. What's going to happen with them now as we see the rise with digital currency, the rise with Stargate? What's happening right now has taken this and put it on steroids, and all the data is there, and it will be used against the masses of the people.
You're absolutely right. And it seems like everything is being put in place to launch us to the next prophetic thing that's going to take place on the timeline, and that is the tribulation period. So here we are with the beast system being set right up. Tom, in the last couple of minutes that we have, let's switch gears and talk about Israel. You're well connected to the current situation over there. What is happening in Israel post-inauguration?
It's great that the hostages are being released, and we know there's going to be a lot of them that are dead. We know that. Exactly what's going on, there's different thoughts. Is Trump selling out Israel? I've gone back and forth with some individuals on this, and I don't think so. I believe what's happened now as I look at the situation with Israel and the hostage deal is Trump has empowered Israel in this sense. I don't think Netanyahu would have agreed to it or the IDF. We know Hamas will not keep up their part of the ceasefire. Israel's never broken a ceasefire. The enemy's broken it every time. They won't keep it up. From what I understand, Netanyahu has been given the green light. As soon as Hamas breaks their part of the ceasefire, Israel has the thumbs up from the Trump administration to completely annihilate the enemy. And then, of course, we bring Saudi Arabia into the picture. Saudi Arabia is saying, hey, we want to have control on Gaza. Will they do that? Listen, MBS is a very charismatic individual, but he's in it for himself. He's brilliant. Mohammed bin Salman out of Saudi Arabia. So if MBS is given control of Gaza, he says, I'll eliminate all the radical terrorists from there. You won't have that problem anymore. And it's probably true. He will pour money into it like he is with the city Naum right now. And Gaza will probably become this beautiful place. I think what's coming in the not too distant future is something like a Marshall Plan to rebuild Gaza. I think Israel is probably going to be empowered by the Trump administration to deal with their enemies, not just Hamas. We have the release of the 1,000 terrorists in the hostage deal. We would be wise to not think for a minute that Israel isn't going to be able to track every single one of those terrorists, know where they are going 24/7, and be able to deal with that problem. Or I don't think Netanyahu would have agreed to it. My guess is either Trump has deceived Israel or something like this is going on behind the scenes, and we're not privy to that information. But I can't think that Israel would just go along with releasing 1,000 terrorists. Remember the grim beepers and the pagers? So Israel tends to have things up their sleeve that nobody else thinks of.
So with that, do you think the Abraham Accords are going to be resurrected? And now that Saudi Arabia is getting involved, do you think there's actually going to be a two-state solution? Is there any chance of that happening whatsoever?
The Abraham Accords, I think, never went away. Even sometimes with the Biden administration, they were talking about them, even though Trump got that going. Absolutely. I've been saying it. I thought since day one, we would hear more and more about Abraham Accords. Listen, they are not going away. I believe the Abraham Accords actually divide the land, which is very concerning. I'm also concerned about the name Abraham Accords. There's only one covenant that God has made with Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant. This gets right on the edge of calling it something like that. And I also believe in Daniel chapter 11, the Antichrist will divide the land for gain. So that is coming in the future. But what's going to happen right now, I don't think Israel's ready to agree to a two-state solution. But Saudi Arabia is going to become a big player in what is coming forward. But as it stands right now, there won't be a two-state solution. But when Antichrist comes on the scene, I believe at that point there will be.
Well, I agree. Tom, time has gotten away from us, and I can't wait to continue this discussion. I want to thank you for joining us today. And real quick, will you tell people, how can they get in touch with you?
The best way is hopeforourtimes.com. That's my website. People can email us there too. Just click on the contact us. Love to hear from you guys. And thank you for having me on. Great seeing you, Ken and Josh. And look forward to seeing you soon too, Ken.
Well, it's always a pleasure to be with you, Tom. Thank you and Godspeed.
Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. You don't ask to be here for such a time as this, but you are still here on assignment. It's a privilege and a challenge. We are watching the final act of a long drama that is allowing all things to fall into place.